I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Multiple speed settings are fantastic for the diversity of web builders and to stimulate different prey species. This is about trying to collect spiders.
I feel like someone just bought a dildo and was like, okay, dude, I need to cover now. So like someone caught them buying one. They're like, okay, no, I'm using it for a science experiment. Like I'm just seeing how many arseholes I could put it in.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? The only podcast that uses cutting-edge science to answer the questions that you actually have. Things like, why is the sky blue? What's up with trees? And why the fuck is it so cold everywhere I go? I'm your host, Alex Lathbridge. I'm a PhD student in cancer and computational biology and sometimes do funny things about science. On my left, I have Oz Ismail. Oz is a PhD student in neuroimaging and dementia, a Tinder aficionado, and is an encyclopedic knowledge of awkward sexual conquests.
It's all true. How do you keep finding this information?
Freedom of information requests. On my right, as always, I have Sahel Patel. Sahel is an amazing journalist and video maker. He makes great films for the BBC. And
He eats muffins.
He's here to learn more and more about science. By the end of this podcast, he's going to be brimming. His cup is going to be full.
My muffin tin will be muffin.
His muffin tin will be muffin. So what have you made this week?
I made a video about Refugee Runner.
When's it going to come out on TV?
So you can check out all my latest videos, probably on my Facebook page, or you can check out on the BBC London page, where you see some of my latest videos and projects I've been working on.
Yep, and through the magic of time, if Sahel says things are coming out tomorrow, it means they came out last week, because...
that's how it works.
It takes time to edit this goodness.
Podcasting, hey?
Hey. We do it because we love it, and also because we want to knock Brian Cox off that number one spot.
Fuck the Cox.
What?
So, Oz, what have you been up to this week?
This week, I've mostly been trying to not, once again, cry about my PhD data making no sense. And so instead of doing that, I decided to do some comedy gigs and eat a lot.
Oh, we had the news gig, didn't we? How was that?
We did have the news gig. It was great. I had great fun playing a cheesy news host.
You're amazing, by the way.
I was there.
I fell asleep three times, though.
But my God. Sahel, you came to the gig.
I went to a gig.
Oh. Everyone, Sahel is a great guy. He comes to all of our gigs, except that he has poor timekeping and he comes a day late.
And texts us asking us where we are.
Yeah, where are you? Where's this gig? Like 24 hours ago, fam.
It was yesterday.
Listen, calendars confuse me.
Even when I send it to your calendar, like literally we'll send you an appointment.
I'm a busy man, Ozzy. I've got a lot of muffins to eat.
So when you say your video was coming out tomorrow, it means... when is it coming out? Because I don't understand Sahel time.
Listen, it's very cryptic, I understand that.
Okay.
You'll find out in time.
So, Oz, do you have any more gigs coming up?
I do have some gigs coming up. If you go to @ScienceShowOff on Twitter, or just Google Science Show Off, and there's a list of gigs there.
All right, but we'll put all the information about that and where you can find tickets in the show notes underneath the podcast, so you should probably read that shit. So, guys, what has been in the news this week?
I think it snowed.
It did. It's fucking cold everywhere, isn't it?
I was saying to you earlier, Alex, we're not genetically equipped for this.
Yeah, no, we're not. Do you guys feel equipped for this weather?
Absolutely not.
No.
I come from a desert people.
I was born in the Middle East in the summer.
My parents came to this bullshit country.
fridge every winter. I'm like, why, Dad? Why did you send me here?
Do you know that video I was telling you about? I interviewed this guy from Ethiopia, first winter in the UK. He was fucking freezing, man. He was like, what kind of hellhole have I come to?
I was like, Alex, no, we came to the UK to have, you know, an easier life, to give you more opportunities. What opportunity?
No, he was like, shit, opportunity to be freezing.
I might have better economic advantages out here, might have more access to education, but look at my knees.
Shit.
They're so fucking ashy right now. No amount of cocoa butter is...
Oh my God, bring me more cocoa butter immediately.
I'm swimming in this at this point.
Yeah, it's the beast of the east, man.
The beast of the east.
Which I'm upset about because that's my branding.
Was that your Tinder bio before?
That's my branding. I'm the beast of the east.
So someone's completely hijacked this hashtag, which is all about you, but now it's not.
I'm very upset.
Okay. But if you're actually interested in finding out more on YouTube, you can follow someone called Simon Clark at Simon Ox Fizz. He makes videos about things like this, because his PhD is in things like this, which is really great. And he's got a great video, I think it's just come out, that talks all about it. I'll put a link in the show notes below, and yeah, find out more
check
about it.
Check it out.
Plug. So what's been happening in the news this week, Oz?
So mine isn't actually a cutting edge news story.
Great.
I'm stepping out of brand.
No, that's really good, because we are running, like, it's really difficult when you're putting a podcast out every 2 weeks to be like, what's happening in the last 2 weeks?
Also, I did a whole gig about the news and fake news. So I am going to go with some silly news, okay. Right? Have you guys seen the hashtag Review for Science?
No.
Oh, you guys are not as nerdy as me, clearly. Mm. Right, so Review for Science is this hashtag that trended on Twitter because somebody posted this Amazon review for these tea strainers, which weren't actually being used for straining tea.
What were they being used for?
So basically, this PhD student in Scotland, she was looking for actual, like, these little balls that hold tea to, like, strain her tea with. And she found this Amazon review where someone had said... to be honest, these weren't being used to strain tea, but for a zoology experiment involving ants. So basically, this guy was putting different colonies of ants in these little tea straining ball things, and then placing them in the other colonies to see if there's a response, whether these ants respond to these different colonies. And he got a response.
Wait, so like that bit in Pirates of the Caribbean 3, where all the pirates are in that, like, ball...
Basically.
And like then, what was it, Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow, like, runs down the hill inside the ball with Orlando Bloom.
Basically, yes.
That. It's a Cannibal Island. Yeah, that, like that.
Okay, I'm trying to, like, I'm misremembering the film now.
I can't remember this.
All right, cool. Yeah. But it was before we all knew that Johnny Depp was a trash man.
Yeah, what is that? I'm so behind the times with this shit, man. By the way, this is a side.
No, side note. Yeah.
What did he do?
Men in Power are trash, apparently. That's
I don't know. That's the I've stopped following him.
Okay, guys, so this podcast can't get too big. Is what I'm trying to say.
Just a general question. Carry on.
So anyway, this basically turns out this guy bought it for his son, presumably as a researcher, did these experiments, and this guy reviewed it, saying the experiment worked really well. Another PhD student then picked up on this and said, everyone, can we please, like, make this go viral and talk about the different things that we use in science that aren't sciencey? And then hashtag Review for Science started to trend. Mm. And basically started to trend in, like, nerd science Twitter. Okay? Yeah. So I've, like, found some great, like, ones that people have been using. Some of them are, like, fairly, like, okay, you can see why they used it. So there's one, like, a 5-star review of a turkey baster where someone's written...
Oh, God.
No, this wasn't so bad.
What was the turkey baster being used for?
to collect mosquito larva.
Whoa.
And this guy's...
That
this guy
makes it
girl,
so easy.
Perfect for sampling tree-hole-dwelling species. Clear tube for easy species ID. Too many Z's in there. And then finishes the review with, unsure if based turkey. It's like, I hope you don't base your turkey after collecting mosquitoes with that turkey baster.
No, but that's the thing. Like, in my lab, they have a microwave that they use for melting agar. So the stuff that you put on Petri dish, you use to make up Petri dishes, circular things that you can grow cells on. Mm-hmm. And what's really weird is that one of those microwaves that was previously used in the lab is now being used in our little office. So it still says, like, do not use with food, laboratory
God.
Microwave.
Your health and safety person is going to go crazy.
Okay, yeah, shout out to the University of Bath. Health and safety, get on it.
Because right? Health and safety is overrated, man. You've got to live life dangerously.
So how is your back, by the way, Mr. Cameraman?
I've had 13 operations on my shins.
So keep going with reef science.
But then, like, zoologists, they're the best. They're like the most creative users of everyday things.
So what are zoologists?
People who study animals.
Oh, cool.
All right. And they like study animal pathology, animal behavior, like everything. They basically study all animal stuff, right? Some of them have been using this tea strain, like these sieves, right? To someone's reviewed one going, here, a strainer at work helps get all those lumps and clumps and leaves you with parasite eggs and cysts out of, like, basically animal shit.
Sorry, what?
So they strain animal shit.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then collect parasites from it using this strainer. Another person has used an extendable painter's pole to collect whale snot.
Whale snot?
Yeah.
What would you do with whale snot?
Well, people need to study whale colds. Whale And they say, do you need to collect whale snot? Are you tired of reaching and straining your back? Look no further. This extendable painter's pole allows you to catch those hard-to-reach exhalations with ease.
Yeah, do you know what? Actually, paint poles are actually good for other things.
But then, like, some people have been using it to... So they do, like, pathology and surgeries and also, like, animal autopsies. Mm. So there's one guy who's been using a yoga mat as a surgery table because it's easy to wash and easy to clean. Then there's... there's a weird one where it says 4 out of 5 stars, the bare essentials needed for taking the brain out of a potentially rabid jackal carcass.
So I'm guessing the reason is because they don't have the specialist things they need to do this, so they just kind of improvise and use their ingenuity to make it work.
I don't know. I mean, these tools for taking rabbit jackal carcass is like basically a chisel and a hammer and a massive bucket.
So not exactly creative. No.
I think the problem is, like, when something is like packaged as a science thing, it's they just hike the price up.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so it's trying to find like cheaper solutions.
Yeah.
You know, like with the paint pole, like I used to use a paint pole as a boom mic pole, like, and I just 3D printed like a little adapter for it, screw it on the top, and I could attach my mic, and I could have like 5 meters paint pole and use it as a huge boom mic for like a third of the price.
But presumably there is like a pole or like a something extendable that you can actually buy.
Yeah,
that's like way more expensive.
Yeah, that's like the official boom pole. So I just made one, like literally like 3D printed a little adapter and stuck it on and used it. So I could see why people would do that, like, you know, find cheaper ways to get around that stuff, I suppose.
But then, like, some stuff gets a little kinky.
What do you mean?
So someone had to buy a vibrator.
Yeah.
Multiple speed settings are fantastic for the diversity of web builders and to stimulate different prey species. This is about trying to collect spiders.
I feel like someone just bought a dildo and was like, okay, dude, I need to cover now. So like, someone caught them buying one. They're like, okay, no, I'm using it for a science experiment. Like, I'm just seeing how many arseholes I could put it in. and see what happens. And I don't, it's just like, you know. But it's then, okay, just buy the dildo, man. It's cool.
Not on university funding. I'm just saying. So some of the other kinky stuff, right? Someone bought, in fact, a man bought a pack of, which is fine, I'm not judging, a pack of women's pantyhoses. And he's using it, apparently.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Again, this sounds very sus. It's like, yo, I bought these pantyhose because I need them for, like, my science and stuff.
It is. He leaves, like, scientific monitoring equipment underwater and it doesn't grow stuff on it because it has, like, a layer protecting his equipment.
Look, if you like wearing ladies' clothes, just fucking wear them.
Yeah, no one's judging. then someone had to... This one's good, right? Someone had to buy some condoms. And this person says, useful membrane through which to feed... Oh, God, I can't say this word. Hematophagus.
Hematophages.
Hematophagus insects. Hematophagus insects.
Yeah, Hematophages. It means they eat blood.
Okay, that thing that Alex just said. 2 stars as it attracts comments of purchased on lab credit card. Someone is legit buying condoms on a lab credit card.
Hey, look, if you've got a fuck in the lab, you're fucking the lab. Like,
but they're not. They're buying it for science to feed blood-sucking insects.
That's what I say. If you've got a fuck in the lab, you're fucking the lab.
It's all the same shit.
Someone had to buy some Vaseline. They said, perfect medium to mix skunk essence for a scent paste that will last all season.
Yeah, I've tried that before, actually. It's good.
Skunk paste. Sounds disgusting. So, yeah, like, there's loads. If you follow the hashtag Ruby for Science, there's loads of weird shit that people buy for the science, apparently.
If you can find a cheaper, like, effective solution to thing, why would you pay the premium? Like, you know, I suppose some people might have to got the money to waste, but for most of us, trying to save a few pennies, right?
But sometimes it's also because some things are so, like, even though it's not made for that purpose, they serve the purpose really well. Like, some of my colleagues, when they do MRI scans, they use Lego blocks because the precision of Lego is so good that it's good for calibrating systems using Lego blocks because they're so well made.
Mm. Wow, that's really cool.
So basically, yeah, tell us like what you use in your labs add to the hashtag Ruby for Science, because I'm having a great time following this hashtag.
Yes, and when you do, if they're incredibly funny, when you tweet us at whynotthedoc with that hashtag Ruby for Science, like, I think next episode we'll have our top 10s.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, top 10s. We're gonna rank you guys. So guys, after our previous episode where we talked about organ donation and like blood donation, have you guys done anything new?
I mean, I've signed up for the organ donor register.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was already signed up, so for me, it's just basically the same.
Cool.
I mean, you don't have to one-up me, Sorrel.
Sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
But like we said...
But I'm a better man than you.
Exactly. We saw where you were going with that.
Okay. But like we said in that episode, if you are ethnic minority in the UK... and you are registered to be a blood donor or an organ donor or both, we'll give you something nice. So if you go onto our Twitter page, you can see that we're giving out Bitcoin to people who have signed up. So that can be organ donor, that can be blood donor. All you've got to do is follow us on Twitter at whynotadoc, tweet us using the hashtag whynotadonor with proof of your like signed upness. So that can be a picture of your organ donor cards or you actively giving blood. You actively giving organs would be dope.
Please don't.
Send all your organs to P.O. Box, Suhail's house, Suhail's treehouse.
Okay, so treehouse is definitely getting a bit horror story over here.
Okay. So there's enough from fucking Punjabi horror story over here. So all you got to do is follow us, use the hashtag WhyNotADonor to send us proof of your organ donation status. So that can be a photo of you giving blood or a photo of your organ donor cards or a photo of your blood donor cards, not a photo of you giving organs. Otherwise, what the hell, do something really weird with them.
I have many uses, many plans.
And then send us your Bitcoin wallet address. We can help you set that up if you send us a DM. That is all. We want to give you good stuff. Okay, back to the podcast. Yeah. What's happening in the world of fake news? Has anything big happened, or has anything big happened?
Yeah, well, you know, there's been a real upheaval in Facebook. So, you know, Facebook's the biggest social media platform in the world.
You heard it here first, Platwork.
That's how we do. And, you know, any change in Facebook is actually, when you think about it, it's a big deal. So Facebook are changing the algorithm. So I'm assuming a lot of people listening to this know what that means. But just in case you don't, it's basically the way that stuff shows up in your news feed, which is like a secret, a kind of recipe. It's like the kernel's secret, you know, sauce, basically. Mm. And they're always tweaking it and adjusting it. But, you know, this is quite a seismic shift. So what they're saying, Mark Zuckerberg, is...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Is that they want to do what's right, is what they're saying. And, you know, he's gone. Was he?
So, like, what you're saying is the stuff that I see on my Facebook feed,
yeah,
like, it's gonna change the what I see.
It's
like at
change.
The moment, it shows me stuff that it thinks I want to see.
Yeah,
and sometimes it shows me things that I'm thinking about. What the
really,
fuck is that
it's inside
about?
Your brain. It
like,
knows
seriously,
what you're
though.
Thinking.
Well, Facebook is similar with Google Search and a lot of these different platforms. Is they do track a lot of data about you, which helps them kind of push content at you, tailored content to you.
But, so how is the algorithm going to change?
Well,
that?
So the algorithm, in fact, is hopefully going to show you less brands and public content, as they call it, which is like videos from the BBC. It could be like clips from Unilad, or it could be, you know, just general news articles and things like that.
And what's the purpose of them changing this?
Well, there's lots of different arguments going around. The official line, right, from Mark Zuckerberg is that, you know, over the last few years, the social media platform of Facebook has begun to prioritize like videos and posts from businesses and media outlets, or public content, as it's called, in favor of content that your friends might make, like posts and videos and from your mates, right? So they want to kind of flip the switch on that. They want to have you more engaged in Facebook in an active way, you know, commenting and liking and taking part in discussions with your friends and family, and less so just actively like consuming viral clips and videos and stuff like that. And it's apparently to do with mental health.
So this is a good thing then? This is like
generally it sounds good, you know. I mean, there's a lot of criticism. I mean, for example, just very recently a major outlet in Brazil, weirdly, kind of accused Facebook of effectively banning professional journalism. So on the flip side of this is Facebook got all this palaver about like the elections and about Russians influencing the platform for political purposes. So the argument some people are making is that they're just completely shutting that down to kind of protect them from like all these like governments like coming after them about like influence elections and things like that. So it could be easy solution to that problem for them.
So I mean, I know that the one of the biggest Brazilian newspapers, they pulled all their content from like,
that's the one I'm
page.
Talking about, yeah. So I've got a quote actually. This is what the guy said, right? The Sergio Davila, who's the executive director of I'm definitely gonna say this wrong, by the way, Folha. And effectively banning professional journalism from its pages in favor of personal content and opening up space for fake news to proliferate, Facebook became inhospitable terrain for those who want to offer quality content like ours. And interestingly, they done an analysis which found that fake news pages received 5 times the number of engagements that professional journalists received. That's since they've started introducing these changes in the timeline.
So since they've introduced these changes, fake news has been doing better.
Well, the problem is that the echo is reinforced.
This is what I was going to ask. We're going to be like forced deeper into our bubbles.
Well, you know, it's an art form, isn't it? Tweaking these algorithms and getting it just right so that you're getting enough quality sources in there that, you know, how do you measure what's a good source? Like if you look at like SEO, right? Google rankings and stuff, it measures a good link by page authority.
So what is that for people that aren't?
So like how the internet works, it's all linked by links, or the visible internet, right? What most of us browse, it's all linked by like to each other. Certain pages have higher domain authority or rankings based on, you know, the quality of the link that it's got. So if you have a link to the BBC, which has a high domain authority, then your website's to be trusted as a trusted source of information. Now, how do you translate that into social media algorithms? Well, apparently it's not so effectively from what we've seen.
Okay, so in a very simple way, when people are searching things on Google, like a news story, like if I'm searching for Cheddar Man, I'm going to see the BBC and Facebook and all like IFLS Science, BBC, Telegraph, Independent. Yeah. I'm going to see those things at the top compared to some next man's blog.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's the way that Google does the rankings is based on a complex mix of different variables that most people don't know. You know, that there's millions of pounds invested in trying to figure that out. Mm. But generally, it'll be based on some important indicators such as domain authority and page ranking. Okay. Whether that translates into social media, I'm not really sure, to be honest, how that works.
So we're not seeing that translating. Mm. We aren't seeing, if I'm searching for Cheddar Man on Twitter or on Facebook, I'm not seeing things that have, you know, reputable sources. I'm just seeing the people that are shouting the loudest.
This is the problem with social media. Anyone can go saying anything they want, and if those people happen to be your mates and those people happen to be idiots, then that's a big problem.
You don't have to look at me when you say that word, because we had this conversation.
You're far smarter than I am. First of all, I'm the idiot on your timeline.
We covered it when we did the Oxford Street story.
But, you know, talking about the Oxford Street story, it's a continuation of that. It is. It's essentially, you know...
So, basically, this is really, even though it seems like a good thing, it's more dangerous in terms of how we receive information, because, we're a lot more likely to believe the people we're surrounded by, be it in person or in our social media bubbles. Because we're only going to believe that, fake news can very easily get amplified.
Well, you know, I think it's not like, this is the point I'm trying to reiterate. It's not precise science. It's a new technology when you think about it. Like I've had my Facebook profile since like 2009. That's like 2008. That's like 10 years, which is not a long time, really. And to just get that source just right, like, do you know what I mean? Just get the algorithm just right, it's going to take time. And even then, they're going to keep me to tweak it and adjust it. And there'll always be criticisms one way or the other. But I think, you know, whether his heart's in the right place, I mean,
it's not heart though, it's wallet.
Well, you know, this is what Mark Zuckerberg said, right? And if you take it at face value, you know, I think there's an element of sincerity in that. I don't know, like, what if it's true or not, but he says, you know, we feel a responsibility to make sure our services aren't just fun to use but also good for people's well-being. If we do the right thing, I believe that we're good for our community and our business over the long term too. In fact, these changes are estimated to hurt Facebook and their profit margins, because brands pay money to have their content show up in your newsfeed, and essentially they want you to spend less time on Facebook for your mental health and well-being. But like I said, it's an art form, and getting those voices just right in the newsfeed where everyone's competing for space is difficult. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, I don't think, personally, I don't think it's coming from a place of moral responsibility. I think that it's working out longevity. So it's just like, if they work out that what they're doing now by promoting fake news or letting big brands buy in, then they realise that actually there's a limit on that, and that might hurt them. This doing this, they might take a knock financially in the short term, but in the long term they might live for longer.
Yeah,
it could be that. I'm just being a
cynic. It's finding the right balance. Yeah. And you know, funny enough,
you know, I think, I can't remember exactly what the figure was, but I think it, for the first time, the amount of users of Facebook in America fell. I just need to confirm that fact. But another interesting thing is 2/3 of Americans rely on social media for news.
Really?
Wow.
It's it's a huge change when you think about it. The fact that Facebook said, we're going to show you less news.
2/3, like just like primarily or at all? Or
so this is according to a survey by Pew Research Center. And it says about 2/3 of Americans rely on social media to, I'm assuming, find articles or sources of news. Whether that's fake news or real news, I'm not sure, but I'm assuming they, instead of like going to reading newspaper or watching TV, they might flick through their Facebook feed.
Wow.
And yeah, there's something to be said for that. I mean, to be fair, like even mainstream media has an element of propaganda to it, I suppose, depending on who you're listening to and what their vested interests are. So, I mean, you always have to consume news with this element of skepticism. Regardless, don't you?
So what do you guys think will come from this Facebook algorithm change?
I mean, I think from a... So, Suhail, you mentioned that one of the reasons they're doing this is because of the way people's mental health gets affected by social media, right? Now, from that point of view, it's great because social media... Like, we live in this world of social media and it does affect people's mental health in so many ways. On one hand, there's the people who don't, who only want to show, well, most people only want to show their best side on social media, but sometimes it goes a bit too far. And then other people who consume that think, oh, I don't have such a great life as these people, and that's not very good for them. On the other hand, there's also, so for example, you guys have heard of thirst trapping, right?
No.
What is thirst trapping?
So thirst trapping... I'm so surprised that, like, I'm going to teach you something about social media. Thirst trapping is, it basically happens on Instagram a lot, where somebody posts pictures of them looking stunningly attractive.
Yeah.
It's very, like, a lot of gay guys do this. I do not personally do this myself, but generally there'll be very ripped guys in their speedos or they're almost naked, and constantly all the pictures they put out of them looking like a model. To, in order to gain, so people then look at it and go, oh, that's attractive, I want to look at that. They follow them and they gain followers to the point where when new followers come in, they see like thousands and thousands of other followers and they can't even tell if this person is famous or not. So then they just follow them because they go, oh, this person might be famous. And because they're giving you like this window into their lives,
yeah,
it's like this, it's almost like, I don't know if it's a fetish, but it's almost like you can see like a private part of their life because they're pretty much naked on their profile all the time.
Yeah.
And so that drags them in. So basically that is the thirst trap. People dragging you into their profiles by giving you like this, a little bit of something that you might want and gaining followers.
Yeah. Then that's when you're hooked into the algorithm. Then those people probably make money from like brands.
An element of that as well, but then also like, for instance, Instagram will, because you like those pictures, Instagram will then show you similar pictures, then you like more profiles like that. But then also I think somebody was looking at the negative impact has on people who fall into these thirst traps, and they look at these people and go, oh, I don't have as beautiful a body, I don't have as a bigger following as this, my life is shit.
So Sahel, should we get Oz to run the Instagram account?
She's gonna post loads of buff dudes. It's like,
if Oz could run the "Why aren't you a doctor yet?" Instagram account, you should all be following.
Everybody,
you just need to put a few pictures of me up, man. You get plenty of thirst trapping going on.
So, how would you like to do this on a beach somewhere?
Let me just get the bikini out.
I think you're looking for speedos. We don't want you in a bikini.
Thirst trapping as a cultural phenomenon is one thing, but the underlying science of it, the idea that you can build a huge following by gaming these algorithms and then bringing other people on board who see your followers as a metric of your importance.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's ad hominem, isn't it? It's a logical, it's a human mistake that we all do. It's like, it's an argument from authority. So if someone who seems to have like, if someone seems to have like some sense of credibility, then you're, because other people believe them, then you're more likely to believe them. It goes back to the Ollie Murs thing. It's very similar to the Oxford Street discussion we had.
When Ollie Murs tweeted that he, he's in Selfridges and there are gunshots, everyone run, or Harrods or something, and the people believed him and it snowballed.
But this is the argument that this journalist is making, right? From the Brazilian newspaper, he's saying, people are engaging with fake news more because of these algorithm changes. They're more trapped in their echo chamber. So, like I said before, it's like finding that balance between, like, you know, giving, helping people engage in meaningful connections with social media, actually commenting and liking and being friends with people, as opposed to using it as a source of news, which apparently a lot of people do. And if that news is again coming from people who don't know what the truth is, and that's when misinformation spreads.
So what do you guys think the solution is? Is the solution, like Facebook is saying, just changing their algorithms, or does something more fundamental have to happen?
I don't know if changing the algorithm is going to help, because I was just thinking, when I see something on Facebook or on Twitter or something that I think this is, when, or I feel like it's fake, and then I go and verify it to see if it's real, or sometimes it's something that's very hateful, say like someone's Muslim hating, and so I just want, when I see something like that, I always try and sort of be like, maybe use a reporting function. If it's really hateful, I just think, this is not okay, you can't just put fake stuff out and stuff that's really hateful, and use a report function. A lot of the time, in my experience, social media, whoever moderates it, they don't really respond. They go, oh, they, like they say, we'll look into it, and the response you get is just unfollow them. So they're encouraging me to not to go deeper into my bubble. I don't think that is helpful. But also, from their point of view, what can they do? Can they censor people? I guess they can't. So where is the line? Where is the line where you go, no, this is something that's hateful? Who is the judge of that? That's the problem, isn't it? We can't, no one is the judge of that. And so Facebook making its algorithms, I feel, is just going to push us deeper and deeper into those bubbles. And I don't think that's going to really, maybe from a mental health point of view, just seeing things that only the people you like are sharing is good. Because you're likely to follow the people who don't upset you, or people who aren't going to make you feel shit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what are they sharing? It depends on their content as well.
I see what you're saying. It becomes self-affirming, because then you end up... we've had this discussion, not just in this podcast, but across the mainstream media. It's like, you end up following people who confirm your beliefs, and then, you know, like... And how do you gain that balance in the algorithm? Well, to be fair, like, the problem and a lot of marketers have with the Facebook algorithm is that they make no sense. Like, it's completely random. Like, it's just, it seems completely random. There's a good quote here, actually. Someone's called it surprisingly inelegant, maddeningly merciful. What does that say? Can you say that for me?
What the fuck are you trying to say?
It's a good quote. Read that. Surprisingly,
shall I
just tell me how to say
it? Get your radio voice on.
Tell me how to say it.
Radio voice. The truth is that no one seems to know exactly how Facebook's algorithms work. Slate described the manner in which the social media network determines the order of content in any feed as surprisingly inelegant, maddeningly mercurial, and stubbornly opaque.
That's it. Thanks, Alex.
Anytime.
But anyways. As that quote said, which Alex so beautifully recited, nobody knows what the fuck's going on, and I don't think Facebook knows either. They're just figuring this shit out. So give them some time. Give about 20-30 years, I'm sure they'll come to a better solution than we have now.
Exactly. They're winging it, and they're winging it with a nice press release.
Yes.
I mean, aren't we all?
So guys, we've come to the end of the podcast. How are you feeling?
Good. I've had this awakening.
I've had 3 cupcakes.
As always, I've been joined by Oz and Sahel. I've been your host, Alex Lathbridge. This has been Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Bye.
Peace out.
See you later.
And so if you've liked that and you thought, wow, this is a really great podcast, or conversely, you've thought, huh, these guys know nothing about science, technology, or indeed comedic timing, you should tell us. Leave us a review on iTunes. I know you hear it everywhere, but we really like internet validation. You can also follow us on social media at Why Not a Doc on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, really anywhere. Just type that in on Google and you'll find us. And I think that's about it. Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.